Meanwhile,
radios crackle.
KMUZ Turner,
both near and far.
88.5 FM and 100.7 FM in Marion and Polk County.
With monstrous music.
Salem and Kaiser.
For a spooktacular.
Taking over the entire planet at KMUZ.org.
Mid Valley Mutations.
Halloween Spooktacular 2016!
Have you turned the lights off? Closed the windows? Good. Now, light a candle. Turn the radio up. And gather round. Keep your phone handy. That number again, 503-990-6101. When you are ready, call and tell us about any unexplained experience you have had. Because it's time to start telling stories.
Tonight we present Ghost Stories Part 2, Air Check of the Damned. Welcome to Mid-Valley Mutations here on KMUZ, and we're bringing you our annual Spooktacular, where we celebrate Halloween and all of the great things that this holiday brings us. Now, we're telling ghost stories. This is Ghost Stories Part 2. We did this last week, and we want to do it again, actually. We had a lot of fun talking about unexplained experiences, encounters with the supernatural or ghosts, and this is the right time of year to be telling these kinds of stories, so why not? But before we get into that, we have some unfortunate business that we need to attend to. We lost somebody very important. Zachary, the cool ghoul, has passed. He was one of the original horror hosts. He was probably the second person to ever do it in the 50s when the shock theater treatment, the package of movies went to all the television stations, and they had the, you know, let's get some guy to host it. Zachary was the guy that did it. And at the age of 98, he passed on Thursday night yesterday. What a character! What a figure in music and Halloween and whatnot. And I felt like it would be like a real disservice if we didn't at least acknowledge his impact. Because he's the original embodiment of this stuff, and he really knew how to celebrate the holiday well. So we're going to hear a small selection of a couple of tunes in tribute to Zachary. You know, the people who died. Let me tell you, there was a lot of them this year, and he was one of them. And we're going to ease into the program, and then after our tribute to Zachary, we're going to start taking some calls, get some ghost stories going, because it's that time of year. That number again, 503-990-6101, audience participation. Contribute your content via that conduit. But let's get into some Zachary, okay?
A dinner was served for three at Dracula's house by the sea. The hors d'oeuvres were fine, but I choked on my wine when I learned that the main course was me. The waitress, a vampire named Perkins, was so very fond of small gherkins. While she served the tea, she ate 43, which pickled her internal workings. Ha, go on the left with the pitchforks. Igor, Igor. What a swimmer is Dracula's daughter, but her pool looks more red than an otter. The blood stains the boat, but it's easy to float, 'cause blood is much thicker than water. Things in Transylvania. For dessert, there was batwing confetti and the veins of a mummy named Betty. I first frowned upon it, but with ketchup on it, it tasted very much like spaghetti.
Zachary for president, Zachary for president, he's Transylvania's favorite son.
Hooray!
Vote for Zachary, vote for Zach, let's put a vampire in the White House, just for fun. Zachary for president, together raise a mighty voice.
Yeah!
Vote for Zach, he's the creature's choice.
My friends, with your inspiring trust in me, I'm more than equal to the task. When country calls, a man can only serve, but I thought you'd never ask.
thank you. enough. As I look from face to face, I can see that this movement of ours goes deeper than just a grassroots campaign, several feet deeper. And together, we can dig up the real issues confronting our country. One of the planks of our scaffold is absolutely vital. We must, in all fairness, give the vote to the spirit. Just consider the present injustice. Look at our current inheritance tax. The deplorable fact is it's taxation without representation. It's un-American, and I intend to change that.
We want Zach! We want Zach!
Please, no demonstrations. Also, if elected, I propose to expand the Federal Reserve System to include all blood banks, so your hard-earned savings will be protected. And when you hit those occasional dry periods, you can borrow at lower interest rates. I say, let's put the plasma to work. Keep it flowing. Let's put muscles in the corpuscles. And of course, you're all aware of my tireless efforts on behalf of my More Schools for More Ghouls program. Let's be realistic. Put the emphasis on the anatomical sciences so our youth will be prepared to build a better society, monster by monster if necessary. On sweeping social reforms. My worthy opponents try to deceive you with glib talk about cradle-to-grave security. And I say, that's fine as far as it goes. But I ask you, does any government have the right to withdraw assistance right at the brink of the grave? just when real insecurity starts for most of us? Of course not, no! So I propose none of these cradle-to-grave half-measures. If elected, I will ensure for all of you security from germination to termination, no matter how long it takes. No strife in the afterlife. That's my motto! my friends, my every thought, my every deed is always for the creature's sake. To pledge my oath, I offer you my hand. Here, pass it around, and each one take a shake.
We want sex! We want sex! It's for freedom!
As long as it doesn't interfere with liberty.
He's for education!
As long as it doesn't wise up the voters.
He's for abolish payola!
For other than elected officials.
He's for strong labor.
As long as some work's done between coffee breaks.
He's for strong corporations.
What's good for general morticians is good for the country.
He's for public housing.
A family closet for every skeleton.
He's for motherhood.
The hand that rocks the cradle swings the vote.
He's for sacrilege. Sacrilege for president, he's Transylvania's favorite son. Yeah. Vote for Sacrilege, vote for Sac, let's put a vampire in the White House. Just for fun, Sacrilege!
Gonna have a nightmare dream.
Happy Halloween.
So little witch, we've got a date. You better put your head on straight. Jump on your broom and don't be late. This is our night to celebrate. Through the oozing quicksand swamp, do the muddy bloody stomp. Do the brand new twist and itch. Witch. Everybody make the scene.
Happy Halloween.
Isn't this a gruesome party? All the weirdies are here. You can't tell which is which without a program. Oh, there's the Wawatoozy witch. And there's Dracula dancing with Rigor. Till Rigor Mortis sets in. For this sweet night we wait all year. Now don't you try to disappear. I'll open up your coffin, dear. My nose will tell that you're still here. Gonna eat some lizard lunch. Gonna drink some living punch. Gonna dance until we're dead. Hit me on the head. Hang my heart and split my spleen.
Ah, yes, that was a tribute to the cool ghoul himself, Zachary Lee. Passed away yesterday at the age of 98. Originally known as Roland, he took on the name Zachary Lee when he got his basically second job horror hosting. And a little known fact, it was a DJ for many years, playing progressive rock music for his listeners. Because that's the kind of guy Zachary Lee was. Now, we are telling ghost stories tonight, and you know, I don't want to startle any listeners who were listening last week and wondered what happened to me at the end of the show. I am fine. I was not possessed. I was not taken over by any ghosts. The radio station is not haunted. We are fine. Do not worry about us. I feel fine. I sound fine. Don't I sound fine? Don't you think I sound fine? Maybe I shouldn't talk about it so much. So that number, audience participation, 503-990-6101. Why don't you call and tell us your ghost story? And, yeah, we'll get you on the air. Now, I think up next we're going to hear a track by The Giant Worm, a seasonally appropriate track, The Right Shadow. They're actually going to be on the show next week. They're going to come into the studio, and we're going to do a kind of Giant Worm takes over KMUZ Mid-Valley Mutations kind of show. It's going to be pretty fun. We're going to talk about their career. They've been at it since the 80s, so they've got some stories to tell. And they're right up your alley. You guys will really love what they do. And in fact, why don't I give you a sample right now? Giant Worm on Mid-Valley Mutations.
Halloween Spooktacular 2016!
You know, it's so hard to find the right shadow. The right shadow doesn't hold you down like glue. Been through several countries and I kept losing mine in the customs line. My shadow, where is my shadow? I like a leaky Rorschach test. I could count on it. I could follow it. But then it disappeared once I started floating away. Gravity's changed, I suppose. They say the weather is changing. Gravity is loose now. You can buy it at a discount store. And if you can't afford it, soon you're floating like some odd zeppelin. Through, over, and out. Through, over, and out. Through, over, and out. Where is my shadow? My tethering force to this world I know and love. World I know and love. It's on the other side. 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 Nirvana is denied. Please re-enter Nirvana. Nirvana is denied. Please re-enter Nirvana. Nirvana is denied. Like a credit score. Oh, no, you can't afford it. You can't afford it. You've been turned down. You've been turned down. There's only one way. There's only one way. You've got a basket case of current liabilities, current possibilities. You've got enough, but it's falling all out. It's falling away. Nirvana is right beside you.
Do Mondays make you blue? Well, we are here to tell you that there are blue skies ahead on the island of Radio Exotica, where it is always 80 degrees and sunny. Join the girl from Ipanema and Auntie Viviwa on Radio Exotica for the first happy hour of the week, every Monday from 4 to 6 p.m. on KMUZ. On our vacation together, We will dig through our vintage vinyl collection to play exotica and tropical lounge,
Hawaiian and Tahitian music,
and Latin jazz and bossa nova.
And of course, a refreshing beverage is served each hour.
Let the tropical breezes carry you to the island of Radio Exotica.
Pull up your beach chair, bury your toes in the warm sand, and put an umbrella in your drink.
Join us on Radio Exotica, Mondays from 4 to 6 p.m.
Only on KMUZ.
100.7 FM, 88.5 FM, and on the Coconut Wireless at KMUZ.org. Community radio for the Mid-Willamette Valley.
Mid-Valley Mutations.
Halloween Spooktacular 2016!
Tonight we present Ghost Stories Part 2, Air Check of the Dam. And we're back here on Mid-Valley Mutations. And we are telling ghost stories live on the air as part of our Halloween Spooktacular to get in the mood for the season. And we actually have a caller on the air. Caller, go ahead.
Hello there. Hello there. Hello, Austin. This is Horace.
Oh, hey. Speak of the Devil's Club, which I'm actually playing right now behind us.
Nice.
Good timing. Nice. Yeah, we have Occult Sciences, actually, that live set that you did.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to coming back into town in November to play a few things there in Salem. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that show on the 10th at the Space is starting to sound pretty amazing. So if you guys haven't heard, it's going to be Devil's Club, Uneasy Chairs, Remy Knoll, and a few others.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Actually, I think we're having some kind of a slumber party or something, too, which should be kind of fun. So maybe some music will happen there at the house as well.
Nice. Yeah. You know, sometimes the late show is the better show anyway.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So
actually, I heard that you were having people tell some ghost stories down there tonight. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we did this last week, and we had... Patrick from Uneasy Chairs called. We had Ricardo Wang from What's This Called. He called. And, he was just kind of telling some stories of, unexplained encounters, things that, didn't quite add up to, everyday moments. And, this is the time of year where I think we consider, those kind of encounters a little more seriously than, say, in the middle of the summer when it's bright and shiny.
Yeah. Yeah, fall is definitely a contemplative period of time for sure for me as well.
Yeah. Well, and I know that you had mentioned that you've actually had a couple of stories you wanted to tell. Do you have anything you want to start us off with?
Yeah, actually, I'll tell one that happened, I think, I must have been around 11 or 12 years old. Seemed to be kind of a period of time in my life where a lot of strange things went on and kind of inexplicable stuff, you know.
Hmm.
Anyhow, I was it was actually a Halloween night, and as I recall, I think the moon was at least, it was either close to full or was full, but it was bright enough to see easily, people around you as you're walking in the dark.
Do you remember what
and
you were
out in the neighborhood?
Do you remember what you were dressed as? Was this like a going out kind of thing, or?
Oh, actually my friend and I were dressed up as essentially skeleton guys, I guess,
Oh, nice.
So, your classic, spooky skeleton type costume.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He might have been a mummy, actually. I think he was a mummy, and I was doing the skeleton thing, if I remember right.
Nice. Now I did that one year where I had, white tape on a black outfit. Was that kind of the gist?
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, that's definitely cool stuff. Yeah, I had a lot of good costumes, actually, early on when I was a kid. My mom was quite a seamstress, and so I was an alligator with my head sticking out of the alligator's mouth one year, and it was pretty fun stuff.
Nice, nice. Excellent. Well, let's get. So you were out. It's Halloween. You're about 11.
Yeah. So we were out trick or treating, of course, and being good kids for the most part. You know, we were always pretty good kids, really. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a couple of run-ins with the police and that sort of thing, but that happened in Kaiser pretty often. So back in the 80s, anyways.
I think it still does.
So, what's that?
I think it still does.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah, so we were actually around this neighborhood up in northern Kaiser called Terrace Green. I don't know if you've ever been there before.
No.
But it's off of Wheatland Ferry Road, if I remember correctly. It sits in between River Road and Wheatland Ferry Road. And actually, we were running around that neighborhood. It was a really cool old neighborhood. And back in the old days, there really weren't a lot of developments or anything out there. The Alaskan Gravel Company was still going. And so there was a big gravel quarry right next to a graveyard. Actually, it was down on a small creek that runs through there.
Hmm.
Anyhow, we were running around the neighborhood trick-or-treating for quite some time. And it got pretty late. And at that time, we were... you know, ironically, able to stay out pretty late, even as young kids, and we kept it kind of responsible, whatever, at the time. And
right.
So we decided to take a little adventure and deviate from the neighborhood off into this graveyard, because we remembered there was this really spooky, unmarked grave down on the riverbank. And so it was like a headstone with nothing on it, right?
Hmm.
And so we wanted to go and investigate that, and it was, like I was saying, it was, you know, very bright out, kind of a full, or at least a close, you know, close to a full moon. And so, you know, we went down there to basically get scared for the most part.
Right.
And so I think there must have been, I don't know, all together, maybe five of us or something. And so we're just being loud and kind of running around, having a good time. We get to this graveyard, and we're making our way to the graveyard. It's quite warm out. It's kind of, you know, Indian summer type October sort of weather. And so we get down to the riverside, and we check out this grave, and it's definitely spooky, you know. But we're all kind of nonplussed, you know. We weren't really that scared or anything. So
right, I mean, you're already like 12. You're jaded.
yeah, absolutely. So we made our way back up the bank, and we're crawling through the graveyard kind of slow, just making our way back home, basically, and taking our time doing that. And so as we all kind of get up in the middle of this graveyard, and this is a really old graveyard. I'm sure it's still there, actually. And so, you know, I look up, and probably, I don't know, maybe 20 feet away, there's like this black figure, you know, this dark colored figure, opaque kind of thing. And you can see everybody really clearly in the moonlight. It's not really daylight, but, you know, you can make out, you know, facial features and everything. And so this figure, there's no detail to it. It's just almost like a silhouette cut out, you know, out of like construction paper almost type thing.
Right.
Except for that it's actually moving, you know, through the graveyard. Right.
Whoa.
So, so we all freeze. You know, we're completely, like, terrified.
Right.
Rightfully so. And as this figure comes closer, it starts to get super duper cold, you know, and kind of this cold breeze, kind of like frozen breeze kind of thing happens.
Bizarre.
And so then we're just absolutely petrified at that point. And there's no sound or anything. Nobody's making a sound. You know, we're all frozen. And
breathing has stopped.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's actually kind of happening to me right now, thinking about it, you know, because it's still such a vivid memory. So, this figure comes closer and closer, and finally we just broke, and we had to get out of there. So we started barreling away from this thing, made it out of the graveyard. You know, nobody was harmed in any way, but it was really, really strange and totally happened, too. You know, which is one of those things, you know, when you think back on it, you're like, that really happened.
Right.
But it did, you know.
Yeah. So, well, you know, and it's
that was it's one.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because, you know, as we've been doing this for the last couple of weeks, more and more people have these experiences where they're like, "No, that really did." You know, I'm normally not the person that says something like this, but no, that really happened. You know, and which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
We need an outlet for those kinds of things that you know, don't fit in nicely to these little boxes that we can, you know, prescribe for all these normal experiences, or quote unquote normal.
Well, you know, I think experiences like that for me early in life actually kind of have built up to the period of time that I'm going through even now, you know, where in terms of exploration and music or, you know, patterns of thinking or whatever, I always try to, do something a little different, you know?
Right, right. Well, because you get bored doing the same thing.
And, you know, sort of carbon copying other stuff, you know, I mean, you're inevitably always going to cross paths with people in terms of creativity or whatever, but, you know, to try to do something that's a little more your own thing is, I think it's definitely deeply rooted in strange experiences, you know, throughout your life.
Well, and it's almost a spiritual quest in a way, because, you know, only you can really know what you're searching for when you're trying to make music or art of any kind. You know, and so it's a lot of like self-reflection and kind of looking inward to confront these experiences that really shaped us.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so we had a couple of other experiences like that.
A lot
of times I refer myself in a plural way, by the way. But
Do you want to get another one?
Well, yeah, you know, actually, I'll tell you one that's actually for a little more recent, actually. This is kind of a cool one, because this is a house that I lived in just in 2007 or so, and so I lived there with, originally I moved in there because I got a job up in Vancouver, Washington, and so I, you know, rather than commute such a long ways,
right.
I decided to move up there, and so I kind of stayed in the basement of this really, really old house, still, you know, for Oregon, because, I mean, a really old house in Oregon is still from the 1800s.
Right.
So they're really not that old, you know. I've actually stayed in houses in Pennsylvania that were, like, probably 1600s or maybe slightly later. So, you know,
I think my new house in Oregon is from the 20s, so.
Exactly. Yeah. So, this house is probably built in late 40s or 50s, I'm guessing. So it's pretty old for Oregon.
Right.
And, you know, we lived in this place together. There was like, five of us, I think. But this house was huge, so it was like a two-story house. And the main floor, actually three with the basement. So the main floor was kind of a living space for a couple people, and then the upstairs was a living space for a couple more people, and then, you know, I stayed in the basement on and off. So anyhow, eventually we took over the whole house, and we found the stairway that had been covered over with plywood, right? So it had been boarded up, basically. Yeah. Because there was no way to get between the two levels other than the stairway. You could go out and then come back in again, you know, from two different entrances.
Yeah, because they're trying to keep it house, separate.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so it's kind of, you know, I guess apartmented off, you know. So, anyhow, the house had 22 doors in it, which is pretty strange in itself, actually. Yeah, so 22 doors, and one of them was this strange little hallway that turned into a stairway that went nowhere, you know. And so anyhow, we pulled the boards up, and we got permission. I mean, it was totally fine, and because we were able to put them back once we left or whatever. But so we pulled the boards up, and for a number of months, we really enjoyed having this stairway, because it was very strange. It was like extremely narrow. You know, only one person could go through there at one time. So it's almost like a, it kind of had this sort of a ship feel to it. This house, you know, is like living on a ship almost.
Right, right. Really cool. Like, you're out on the ocean, you know, tight quarters.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, you know, like Howl's Moving Castle. I don't know if you watch it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, sort of like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we actually used to make jokes about that a lot. But anyhow. So the stairway, quite a few times, all of us kind of experienced this thing where you'd be coming down the stairs and something would kind of push you a little bit, you know, and it was kind of, didn't feel that friendly, you know, and it was sort of this really weird, ominous, kind of creepy thing that would happen, and a lot of other feelings like that would happen in the house, too, and this house always kind of had this very malevolent kind of feel to it. You know, even though we loved this house and had a great time there and all that stuff, a lot of music happened there, you know, a lot of flamenco and different things were going on at the time. And
nice.
So anyhow, you know, this went on for quite some time. And so right around, you know, like fall, beginning of fall, like, you know, definitely towards Halloween, I'd say like mid-October probably, I actually was doing something upstairs and came downstairs and decided to go outside and just take a break and walk around a little bit. So I went up and I was standing in the driveway and got this really weird feeling, you know, and I turned around and I looked up to the second story and the window in my room, the room that I slept in actually that same night, there was like this really strange, like Raggedy Ann looking female form in the window.
Oh, weird.
And it was like gyrating and shaking and bending like violently, like really super fast.
Huh.
And, so I stood there and watched that for, it was kind of a long time, like a couple minutes, you know?
Weird.
Until finally I ran back in the bottom part of the house to go get people and, you know, pointed out to him. By the time I came back, it was gone. You know?
Of course.
But, yeah, that was strange. Yeah.
And this is not the first house story either. It seems like, and I know we talked about this a little last week, but like, you know, buildings definitely retain something, you know, they have, yeah, like, you know, I think it's just all the experience that goes on inside, you know, like they inevitably just kind of soak some, yeah, of it up.
Yeah, yeah, they're like batteries, kind of, yeah. They're containers for human energy, you know, that's what they do. So I could easily see that being, you know, it's funny because, you know, people always have these really intense, deep arguments about, you know, stuff like that. For me, I mean, it's, even if I look at things logically, you know, I figure, you know, there's like conservation of energy is a pretty classical thing that people kind of accept as being true, you know,
right,
in terms of theories or whatever.
It's not destroyed, kind of it's just transferred.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, you know, some ways I think maybe energy that's organized, maybe it tends to stay organized, you know, that's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Well, you know,
yeah, you know, like the truth wants to be free, that kind of the same sentiment, you know.
So. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I don't want to, you know, keep the phone tied too much because I know some other people want to get in here. But, you know, the November 10th show at the Space, people can see Devil's Club live. And here's,
yeah,
here's some of this stuff performed in front of an audience. And it's a killer lineup, yeah, that night. So I recommend, you know, taking the day off and enjoying some live music.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm definitely going to bring down some really cool machines to play that night. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool, yeah. Let's see if I can get some video for that. So, it'll be fun.
Oh, yeah, it'd be great. Yeah.
And then, you know, I want to mention, too, it's Uneasy Chairs, Remy Knoll. You know, we'll put some links on the show notes for this episode. And then SoundCloud.com / Devil's Club for lots of cool sounds and tunes.
Yeah, still posting there for now. Yeah, definitely. Well, cool. Yeah, thanks a lot for having me call in. It's a fun treat to actually call you and say hello to you.
Absolutely.
I haven't talked to you for a while.
I know, and yeah, you've been off the show for a bit, so we do need to get you back on, you know? Like, maybe it's time for another in-studio. So.
That would be really fun, yeah. Yeah, actually, I went all the way across the country and back since the last time I saw you.
Yeah.
I did kind of a record, yeah.
Yeah, I bet you've got some stories.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, we can talk about that in person. Maybe play some stuff off that record. That'd be fun.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Well, you know, have a good evening, and you know, keep on keeping on, sir.
Yeah, most certainly, and I'll see you soon here in November.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care.
All right. Well, have a good night. Take care.
Mid-Valley Mutations.
Halloween Spooktacular 2016!
Tonight we present Ghost Stories Part 2, Air Check of the Dam. And we're just having a lot of fun here on Mid-Valley Mutations, you know, telling some ghost stories. Oh, looks like the phone is ringing here. Hello, caller, go ahead.
Hey.
Hello, who is this?
You can't tell who this is.
No, I'm not, I have no idea. Who is this?
Really? You don't have a clue?
No, I said I don't know. I'm here every week, and I'm familiar with all the voices I hear regularly, and there's no reason that I wouldn't know who you are. Who is this?
Dude, you are really letting me down right now.
Come on, just, caller, please, identify yourself.
This is the Mid-Valley Mutations weather computer, and I'm calling because I have another ghost story.
Oh, the weather, weather computer, of course. You have another ghost story for, do you want to talk about something else, maybe?
I can also give you the weather, if you would prefer that.
Yeah, I think you're a little more suited for that task, and maybe not so much for the scary stories.
Okay, then. Thank you, Austin. Here's a look at the local weather, brought to you by Halloween. And a happy spooktacular to you and yours. May the spirit of the season fill you all year long, and may that same spirit stop possessing you periodically, to help you feel like you have some semblance of a regular life. Tonight, showers this evening becoming a steady light rain overnight. Low of 48 degrees. Winds south by southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 70%. So I guess today's good fortune was just a fluke. Bummer. Sunrise at 7:45 a.m. Tomorrow, rain showers early with mostly cloudy conditions later in the day. High of 61 degrees. Winds south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 70%. So I guess that means maybe don't count on one last weekend in the park. Sunset at 6:03 p.m. And that was a look at the local weather, brought to you by Halloween. When midnight creeps, and data centers sleep. When the weirdos sneak, and the monsters creep. When you're on Twitter late arguing with your crazy peeps. Then you know it must be Halloween. And a merry spooktacular, one and all. Are you sure you don't want to hear my other ghost story? It has Courtney Love in it.
Sure, that's fine, weather computer. Thank you for calling and delivering the weather to someone who's certainly not been possessed or taken over by a ghost from last week. Not at all.
Anyway, back to Mid-Valley Mutations.
Present at a hanging. An old man named Daniel Baker, living near Lebanon, Iowa, was suspected by his neighbors of having murdered a peddler who had obtained permission to pass the night at his house. This was in 1853, when peddling was more common in the Western country than it is now, and was attended by considerable danger. The peddler, with his pack, traversed the country by all manner of lonely roads, and was compelled to rely upon the country people for hospitality. This brought him into relation with queer characters, some of whom were not altogether scrupulous in their methods of making a living, murder being an acceptable means to that end. It occasionally occurred that a peddler with diminished pack and swollen purse would be traced to the lonely dwelling of some rough character and never could be traced beyond. This was so in the case of Old Man Baker, as he was always called. Such names are not given in the Western settlements, only to elderly persons who are not esteemed. To the general disrepute of social unworth is affixed the special reproach of age. A peddler came to his house and none went away. That is all that anybody knew. Seven years later, the Reverend Mr. Cummings, a Baptist minister well known in that part of the country, was driving by Baker's farm one night. It was not very dark. There was a bit of moon somewhere above the light veil of mist that lay upon the earth. Mr. Cummings, who was at all times a cheerful person, was whistling a tune which he would occasionally interrupt to speak a word of friendly encouragement to his horse. As he came to the little bridge across a dry ravine, he saw the figure of a man standing upon it, clearly outlined against the gray background of a misty forest. The man had something strapped to his back and carried a heavy stick, obviously an itinerant peddler. His attitude had in it a suggestion of abstraction, like that of a sleepwalker. Mr. Cummings reined in his horse when he arrived in front of him, gave him a pleasant salutation, and invited him to a seat in the vehicle. "If you are going my way," he added. The man raised his head, looked him full in the face, but neither answered nor made any further movement. The minister, with good-natured persistence, repeated his invitation. At this, the man threw his right hand forward from his side and pointed down as he stood on the extreme edge of the bridge. Mr. Cummings looked past him, over into the ravine, saw nothing unusual, and withdrew his eyes to address the man again. He had disappeared. The horse, which all this time had been uncommonly restless, gave at the same moment a snort of terror and started to run away. Before he had regained control of the animal, the minister was at the crest of the hill 100 yards along. He looked back and saw the figure again, at the same place and in the same attitude as when he had first observed it. Then, for the first time, he was conscious of a sense of the supernatural and drove home as rapidly as his willing horse would go. Arriving at home, he related his adventure to his family, and early the next morning, accompanied by two neighbors, John White Cornwell and Abner Razor, returned to the spot. They found the body of Old Man Baker hanging by the neck from one of the beams of the bridge, immediately beneath the spot where the apparition had stood. A thick coating of dust, slightly dampened by the mist, covered the floor of the bridge, but the only footprints were those of Mr. Cummings' horse. In taking down the body, the men disturbed the loose, friable earth of the slope below it, disclosing human bones already nearly uncovered by the action of water and frost. They were identified as those of the lost peddler. At the double inquest, the coroner's jury found that Daniel Baker died by his own hand while suffering from temporary insanity, and that Samuel Moritz was murdered by some person or persons to the jury unknown.
All right, and we are here on Mid Valley Mutations, and if I am not mistaken, we have someone on Skype with us right now. Hello, caller, are you there?
How's it going?
Not bad, sir. You know, we've been telling some ghost stories throughout the evening, and you know, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get this arranged, and then I finally did it at the last second. We have an actual ghost hunter here on...
Oh, watch out.
on the line here. Now, you have some experience not only with, the supernatural and unexplained experiences firsthand, but you're also kind of, like, are on the hunt for these. You're, like, kind of doing a little detective work.
Yeah, you could say that. Definitely investigating. It's a lot more investigating than supernatural or silly stuff. It's a lot of more common history searching and looking up all the things that are on this planet and applying those more than anything else. But
right. Well, because there's a lot of stuff that has happened, not just to individuals, but just in general. And so a little time in the library and a little research can go a long way.
Definitely, it's helped us a lot.
Yeah. So, since it is the spirit of the season and whatnot, we were wondering, I kind of mentioned this earlier when we were chatting, do you have a good story you want to tell us to kind of kick things off?
Sure, yeah, I got a few. There's a ton of personal experiences, so many little ones, and after so much time of doing this now for quite a few years, they all tend to run together on you, and after a while, things aren't really all spooky anymore, and they seem kind of just run-of-the-mill until you start telling people, and then you realize that it's just not quite the normal thing. But sure, yeah, so you just want me to tell you one of my personals?
Something that, is gonna good for the mood and whatnot.
Yeah, sure, you got it. And it's kind of fun for me to do that, because often, with what I do, I'm talking to clients and trying to help them with their fear of things. And so my job there is to, be the strong one, to not be scared, to not be creeped out or affected by any of this stuff. So I have to keep this face on for them all the time. I don't get to talk about the things that really scare me that much. So it's fun to be able to tell you, these are some things that have really freaking spooked me out. And I've had to keep my stuff together. But in thinking about it a little bit, really the things that scare me the most, or the things that catch me off guard and even still can catch me off guard, I should say, are when things move or affected in your environment that nobody touched, that nobody did anything to do. It couldn't have happened. And so those are the things that really, really get me. But I was doing an investigation at a restaurant in Depot Bay that's no longer open. It was called the Spouting Horn. And they're remodeling it to something new. Who knows what it'll be, but here's hoping that it'll go good, knock on wood. Really curious to see if they have any experiences there, because it was quite active location. A lot of people knew about it before I did. And we definitely had activity when we went there almost every time. But this one time in particular, I went there with just one guy, a young medium. His name is Joshua John. And he and I went just by ourselves to go and try to connect with whoever might be there in this building. And it was an old building. It's right in Depot Bay, overlooking the ocean. It's pretty late at night, and nobody else is there, just him and I. And we went upstairs in this place, and there'd been a lot of activity up there. A lot of people had been able to capture what sounded like speaking voices on audio tape or EVP messages. And so we got some of these old messages from a team that had done some work there before. And they were voices, spirit voices is what they were saying. Who knows what they really were. But we thought it'd be a good idea to play some of these messages and see if there would be a reaction to that. Because sometimes you can trigger things to happen by saying the right thing or talking to the right person. Or in this case, playing some old voice messages from beyond. So we played some of these messages, and we were just basically reaching out. Hey, did you talk to somebody here before? Would you like to talk to us? And to play your own voice, how does it feel to, hear your own voice again? And all of a sudden, the air got just really, really heavy. You could just feel a change in the environment. It felt almost like a heaviness, a blanket sort of, a weighted blanket kind of coming over you and sort of just pushing on you, but not hard, just there. Everything on your skin sort of started tingling, and you just felt something, a presence. The medium, though, this is what gets me. We play this message, we ask some questions, and the medium leans forward all of a sudden. I got this on video. It's not a great video. I'm much better at editing now than I was before, but I have this on our YouTube site, so you can check it out if you find it. But he leans forward all of a sudden, and he goes, moving. And then he goes, and there's a door that slammed downstairs underneath us, and there's nobody in the building. I mean, we check this thing over and over again, and loud door slams down in this bathroom, down this dark hallway downstairs. slam, you know, and there's no doors. There's no windows in this place except for the front, the back, a couple of bathroom doors. And so we sit there and he and I look at each other. And I mean, we're just like, I was legitimately scared. I'm not going to lie. I was legitimately freaked out, right. Not necessarily by a, you know, a ghost or whatever, but I'm thinking, who's in here with us? You know, there's somebody in here. Nobody can do that.
The practical concern.
Yeah, well, kind of, yeah. And then if nobody's in here with us, we're getting what we asked for.
Right, right.
And so, okay, now what? And he looks at me, and I made him a T-shirt with this line on it. But it said something like, he said, I said, are you ready? We're going to go check this out. And I was trying to be strong, you know, because he was the young guy being trained by me, too. And he's just looked at me, and he's totally white, and he goes, you go first.
Perfect. Oh, my gosh, that's perfect.
It was crazy, man. And on the video, you can barely hear the door slamming because I had audio running upstairs, but I've been meaning to go back and re-edit it.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do that.
Now,
it's one of my favorite stories.
Well, you should kind of mention too that you have kind of like an organization that you are working on where you kind of not only do these investigations but you're putting together some videos and you know whatnot. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So I started a team with a good friend of mine and my wife called the Oregon Paranormal Pack around 2013. And so we've been doing that for the last 3 years. Seems like much longer. It's crazy. It's only been 3 years. But you can find us.
A lot happens in 3 years, though.
Say what?
A lot happens in 3 years.
It sure does. Yeah. And we've had so many calls and so many clients and then, you know, a few real investigations that went somewhere. The goal of the group is not really to prove anything. We're not trying to, you know, make anybody change their mind about what's out there. I don't even know what's out there. I've experienced so much stuff, and I couldn't tell you what it is for sure.
Right, right. And
I wish I could. I want that kind of proof, you know? I'm seeking that a little bit for my own self, existentially, right? Yeah, but so it's Oregon Paranormal Pack is the name of our group. Now it's just Diane and I now, my wife and I, and we work with other people, other investigators, that are good at what they do. We work with different mediums from all over the place, up north, all the way from Washington, down in California, to some people to the east as well. We just really reach out and try to utilize whoever will help with any given situation, right?
Nice.
Put our videos on YouTube, so you can look for those too, Oregon Paranormal Pack there.
And I'll put a couple links, too, on the show notes for the episode.
So, thanks. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Well, anything else before we close out here, or any links that we should be aware of, or anything else?
Oh, that's it, really. I mean, I could tell more stories if you want me to. But...
Well, yeah, I wanted to try to see if I can get one more call squeezed in before the end of the show. Thank you so much for getting in touch with us. Genuine ghost hunter here on our Ghost Stories episode.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you so much, man.
Talk to you later.
And if you want to squeeze in one more phone call, that number to do it is 503-990-6101. And you're on Mid Valley Mutations.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, is this Patrick?
Yeah.
So, yeah,
how
I took.
How much time do you have left?
A minute or so. I took your advice and we went 2 weeks.
What's that?
I took your advice and we went 2 weeks.
Sweet.
Yeah. So, telling ghost stories and all sorts of fun stuff. Yeah,
there's some really creepy ones, too.
Yeah. Well, Herodotus, of course, pulls through with a couple of classic killer ones. So
he's probably got tons more of them, I'm sure.
Yeah,
they were really creepy.
Well, and part of me, you know, says like I feel like I have my finger on something here, and I don't want to like overdo it, so I kind of want to space out before we do it again. But I feel like
yeah,
there's
It's fun hearing all these weird stories. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I feel like there's a little juice in this idea, so like I wanna give it some space. You know.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I plugged this last time, but I have to mention it every time we talk. Doris Day or Die, my new favorite podcast.
Yeah, I'm working on number 5. I don't know. I seem to like just get really obsessive about things, and I can't put them down or something. So, but the last one, I've been kind of like mixing it up and putting some new stuff on there. It's like a lot of more Justin Smith, who's like on the show coming up. Like, I got a track of him playing some violin that's really killer on it.
Nice.
Yeah.
We should plug this show because we talked a little bit about it earlier, but on the 10th, there's going to be a big show.
Yeah, at the Space.
At the Space. It's not only Justin Smith and you and Devil's Club, but it's going to be a pretty fantastic lineup.
Kind of at the last minute, like I added Nathan Pepperoni and the CEOs Incorporated, Incorporated. It's like a lot to remember there.
Oh yeah.
That's going to be really weird.
And then they're going to be joining you for a 2-hour live show here on KMUZ the next day.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I know all of these guys. And I've seen them do various things, but not in this combination before. So it'll be kind of exciting, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's going to be a pretty killer show. And then just kind of also on the horizon, next week we have the Giant Worm coming in for a big interview. We're doing
awesome.
a Musique Concrete show on the 18th. And I think Four Dimensional Nightmare is going to be doing a little collaboration with us at some point soon. And the author Jeremy Haidt and I have some plans for the holiday season, so some cool things on the horizon. I didn't really get a chance to have you tell a story, but thanks for listening and calling in, man.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
it was great listening. It was weird. There's some weird stuff, and I forgot about this. What did he call it? The spouting place in Depot Bay. I actually think I'd been there before.
Oh, that restaurant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a really creepy ass place.
Yeah. Anyway. I'm going to have to find some links because, man, James, he always comes through with the good stories.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep up the good work and we'll talk soon, sir.
Cool, man. Take it easy. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. And this is certainly Austin Rich, who was not in any way possessed by any ghosts or anything last week. And you've been listening to some ghost stories here on KMUZ.
To raise the dead. Ingredients. Spermaceti. Lignum aloes. Pepper wort. Musk, saffron, red storage, blood of a lapwing. Preparation. Compound the above items and fumigate them about tombs or graves of the dead. It will cause spirits and ghosts of the dead to gather together.
KMUZ Turner. 88.5 FM and 100.7 FM in Marion and Polk County, Salem and Kaiser. Taking over the entire planet at KMUZ.org.
Thank you.
Mid-Valley Mutations.